This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. No, we're not going to talk about the Bears or the White Sox or the Cubs or anything like that. We're going to get back to the NFL, back to the Cowboys, back to the NFL draft. Are you ready?
Let's do it. So the big news is I do think the Bears are probably going to take Ashton Jeanty at 10.
No, we're not going to do that.
Now, what they could do is take Will Campbell, the lineman out of LSU.
I swear, I thought you said Earl Campbell, and I was like, we had him on our show.
And those hot links are delicious, and you guys did a great job with him. Now, this would be excellent for the Bears. If they want to just go ahead and that entire offense.
Shut up, Zach!
We got bookend tackles now, right? We got Darnell Wright on the right side. We got Will Campbell on the left side. The interior of the line's been remade.
I could see why Broadus doesn't like you.
All right.
Aw.
All right. Now that I've
Did he say something to you?
Now that I've crushed your spirit. I just wanted to run through this because we hit a bunch of these players yesterday before we circle back to the draft. So ESPN had best fits for unsigned players in free agency. Stephon Diggs is on there. Amari Cooper's on there. I feel like we've had those conversations. But believe it or not, I'm going to regret this because he was on the Bears. Tevin Jenkins.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right.
I'm good on Tevin Jenkins.
Okay.
Now, he's an Oklahoma State Cowboy, and shout out to Cody Cole, who is one of our sales reps, big time Tolo, and he's an Oklahoma State poke. And I almost went to Oklahoma State.
Did you know he was at the Dallas Card Show this weekend?
Okay. There we go. Maybe he was trying to sell some cards. He's got a wedding coming up, and those are expensive.
Ooh, that's true.
So maybe he's trying to be like Baskey and unload all the Luka Doncic cards right now.
By the way, if you weren't at the Dallas Card Show, he really was there. He really set up a table with all of his Lukas except for the Beckett graded Lukas because he forgot those. At least we hope he forgot those.
Or they got stolen again?
I hope not. But he sold...
Maybe it was me.
I'm just going to say he sold a lot of them. I won't get into the specifics of his finances, but he sold a lot of his Lukas at the Dallas Card Show. All right, one more question for you. Kazir White from the...
I'm white? Don't you said because you're white? One more question for you because you're white.
One more question for you because you're white.
Well, I mean, I am. And I am a Caucasian.
He plays for the Arizona Cardinals or did play for the Arizona Cardinals. So
I'm in on Kazir White.
You're white. His last name is White. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, he's been a good player. I thought a couple of years ago, I think he was with the Eagles for their Super Bowl run when they lost to the Chiefs. And he's been productive with Arizona. I just wonder now if the Cowboys are looking at we're okay at linebacker. They traded for Kenneth Murray. They're already probably overpaying on that contract, which I do think is a fair critique, right? I mean, he's like a $7 million cap hit. If I have that number down correctly, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I love you when it comes to math and numbers. That is my weak spot. But I would be open to that. But I think with Sanborn... And now with Kenneth Murray Jr., they might just say, let's go into the draft at linebacker. And then if he's still around, we can circle back if we need more depth.
Yeah, that is okay. I get that. Then for The Athletic, they had three ideas, but two of them we've already gone over. as we've talked about Keenan Allen.
We are the football show of record.
We've talked about Asante Samuel Jr. What about Calais Campbell?
And now Calais Campbell is a move they should make. This is a...
No concern about the age?
No, because he's still productive at that age. That's like, true. He still plays really well, and that is that fits the culture that Shoddy's trying to build here. Like, one thing that's in common, if you listened to Bobby play the audio of Brandon Bean talking about Kyrie Elam, and you referenced this earlier as well, Alec, high-character individual. Jack Sanborn, high-character individual. Solomon Thomas, high-character individual. Yeah. Right, Calais Campbell, that's actually a guy who's a bigger body. I think he would be great for Mazi Smith. I think he'd be phenomenal in helping his development and helping him become a pro. And that is a low-cost, high-reward type of investment for a player that's going to come in, work his ass off, and all the things that you have an issue with Micah Parsons about, Calais Campbell can help show the youngins, hey, this is how it's done.
Ooh, okay, that is interesting. Now, I want to shift back to the draft. My question for you to start this all off, who do you think could be a surprise in the first round? And what I mean by that is not specifically for the Cowboys, but a surprise riser or faller, maybe, depending on where they're sitting in the mock drafts. Are there players or a player that you're like, there's no chance he goes that high, or there's no chance he goes that low?
Well, the Quinn Ewers thing to me was shocking with the second round deal.
Yeah.
The one to me that I'm like, I don't think that he's going to drop is Tet McMillan. I just like, and I'm seeing him, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah had him even going as far as in the 20s.
Okay.
Like if Teteroa McMillan is sitting there at 12.
That's your guy.
And the Cowboys don't take him. Unless there's just somebody else that has fallen, like Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan, and I get it. We've got Michigan PTSD, but Mason Graham is not like the others. This dude's actually a legitimate stud. He's going to be really good. And he was used in a different way in Wink Martindale's defense than what they were doing previously.
Can you agree? I'm sorry. Can you agree that if he doesn't work out, we won't talk about Michigan defensive tackles for another 10 years?
No, because you got to scout the player, not the helmet. Okay? Scout the player, not the helmet here, Kevin. That's what a wise man once told me.
That is very
all right.
Fair.
Shout out to Brian Broaddus. I love you dearly. But yeah, Tet McMillan is the guy that should not be sliding. And I get it. We had different things with the 40 time, but I think I saw Mike Evans ran a 4.52, 4.53 in his 40.
He's done pretty well in the
NFL. Pretty good. And that's been my comp the entire time for Teteroa McMillan is Mike Evans. Take that guy.
Now, Blogging the Boys yesterday had a 3-round mock draft. I'm going to skip pick one for the Cowboys because it's Ashton Jeanty. We have talked about that a lot, and I might have one more question for you about that later.
Yeah, ask me.
But in the second and third round.
Right now, not later. Nope. Now, because I might not stick around. Door's right there. And I'm waddling to it.
Man, that would be fascinating. Please don't do that. Trey Amos, the cornerback from Ole Miss in the second round at 44.
Yeah.
And Jalen Royals, the wide receiver out of Utah State at pick 76 in the third round. Now, I want to start with Royals because you gave me a hit Royals.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
That makes me think that you have thoughts about that.
I love both of these guys. I like this would be a home run draft. If Ashton Jeanty fell to 12 and then the Cowboys circle back at 44, get their guy in Trey Amos, then hell yes, let's freaking party. And then Jalen Royals in the third round.
Do you worry sometimes that mock drafts like this, not this one specifically, but mock drafts in general, sometimes cheat the system a little bit and take a player that probably won't be available there to make it look like, oh, great job.
Yes, because I don't think Jeanty's going to be there at 12. I think the other ones are realistic, though. Okay. Jalen Royals reminds me of Steve Smith. Thick build, elusive in the open field, used in a lot of tunnel screens, bunch sets, can play inside and out, works the middle of the field well with the slants and the drag. Super tough dude. Not scared to take a hit. Really good after the catch. He's a strong runner with speed to pull away from defenders. The size can hurt him a little bit. He's 6'205". So when it comes to contested catches, which is what Tet McMillan's best trait is, if it's a 50-50 ball on the outside, sometimes being 6'205", that can cost him a little bit, and he doesn't always separate cleanly. But he also didn't play with a great quarterback, so he is a certified bad ball catcher, and he works back to the ball really well. The body control's there, and it's maybe just some concentration drops with him. That would be the only thing. Like, he's looking to run, get the ball, go upfield, and it's, dang it. Kind of what we saw from CeeDee Lamb early in his career. That would be one of my only knocks, but he's also got value as a kick returner. And I know you just signed Kevontae Turpin.
Sure.
But if something happened, like Jalen Royals is a guy that you could put back there and he can do that. I have no doubt this kid's going to be successful at the next level.
And I can't remember how much we actually talked about this person yesterday, but I wanted to circle back to Malachi Starks.
Okay, the safety.
Yeah, and get your thoughts on him. Maybe as a talent and then maybe potentially as a fit with the Cowboys, especially since we talked about, are there still going to be more cap casualties when it comes to the safety position?
So if you're like a home scout and you want to like just go to Malachi Starks verse on YouTube, if you want to find him, look for the dude with the dangling mouthpiece. He's a guy that never puts the mouthpiece in. It's just always dangling. Interchangeable. He can play all over the secondary. He can switch safety spots, plays in the slot. He does remind me a little bit of Brian Branch, who's had an excellent start to his career with the Lions. Now, Branch was more of a corner at Alabama that could freelance as a safety. Starks is a true safety. He does a good job keeping everything in front of him. He's a reliable player. Doesn't appear to be in position consistently to me. Like, if you watch the first half against Alabama and you watch him against Notre Dame, there were bad moments from Malachi Starks. So 12 is a little rich to me. I don't really even have him as the best safety in the draft.
Wow.
I would take Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame as my number one guy, and Andrew Makuba out of Texas would be my number two guy. But if Malachi Starks somehow slid to 44, that could be a steal because he is a clean player. He's really, really good, and he's a great athlete. Won a state long jumping record there in high school. So to me, I like him. But I just see a little bit of inconsistency. I don't have him graded as...
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tie as some others.
And for the 817, am I wrong for wanting Golden over any other wide receiver?
Yes.
Well, we kind of touched on that yesterday. Not to say that he's not good, but that's not the pick or the consensus pick in the fan building. All right. Any other players that you want to spotlight, whether they are for the Cowboys or otherwise?
Okay, so I talked to Mecca Igbuka yesterday for you. Let's go with Trey Amos was the corner that you mentioned.
Yes.
Now, I did talk Azare Thomas yesterday as well, but a guy that I really want to highlight would be Jacob Parrish, the cornerback from Kansas State. Now, the Cowboys have kind of like a height, weight, speed measurable that they want specifically in corners. And I think size wins at the NFL level, right? So they're probably going to like an Azare Thomas, who's 6'2", 191, brother of Wanye Thomas, big, long corner, much like what they just traded for in Kyrie Elam out of Florida.
Okay.
But I love Jacob Parrish, 5'10", 191. I think this guy is what you lost in Jordan Lewis, but he's a better outside player than what Jordan Lewis was. He's strong. He can win outside. He can kick inside and play the slot. He's versatile, smooth feet off the line, reads receivers well. There's times he runs routes better than the wide receiver does, and he will come up and he will smack you. He's got blitz ability off the edge. He'll play physical in the run game. I'm a big fan of his. His older brother was a wrestler at Nebraska, so he's got toughness in his family. But Jacob Parrish, now he's 5'10", 191. Would the Cowboys say, we're not taking you because you're too small?
So did they just mark them off the board all the way?
I think that it has to be, does it fit where they're willing to take him? Like in the third round now, are we willing to look over, hey, he doesn't meet our arm length requirement, but we like the tape?
Yeah.
The Cowboys, I think, do value the arm length and the size more than other teams do in the NFL. So Jacob Parrish might not be in play for them. That's very possible. But I love the player.
Now, when I take a step back, you'd mentioned Wanye Thomas. I know somebody who's already on the roster. Do you think Wanye Thomas still has more to actually contribute to this team? Because this is somebody that I've been championing for a while, Wanye Thomas.
I'm with you. I was surprised Wanye Thomas didn't get more playing time a year ago. I think he's earned it, especially with Donovan Wilson having the struggles. Now, Dono could bounce back. It's very possible. Like, we've seen Dono, your Texas A&M Aggie guy.
That's right.
He's had some really good moments. 2 years ago, he earned that contract. I thought it was a good deal for him. But if he's struggling, I want more Wanye. I need more Wanye.
I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, might try to squeeze in a tiny bit of college basketball, but also AM on the FM.
The question of the day, plus, would you actually want to watch this basketball team at the AAAC? No, it's not the Mavericks. Next on The Fan.
His first game in 3 weeks. Davis transition bucket. North Carolina looking fierce.
RJ Davis goes 6-for-6 from three last night. North Carolina annihilates San Diego State 95-68 to advance into the actual tournament. Now, the other game last night, 16-16, it had an incredible ending as well. The game is tied, St. Francis and Alabama State. Let's go to cut number 11 and pick it up with just a few seconds to go.
Seconds left, and here we go. This is where dreams are made.
They're going for it all.
Simpson home run play, the deflection.
Oh!
Seconds left. Alabama State in front.
And Alabama State would go on to win that game 70-68. I'm really curious what the fever is like starting tomorrow with the beginning of March Madness, especially since ESPN's championship week coverage of college basketball was up 21% and had its highest viewership in 6 years. So it feels like people are primed and people are ready for the NCAA tournament. Now, I never have to ask this question because people are always ready for this.
What does this button do?
Please,
do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. No, I do not call myself that. That's a good way to work around nicknames.
I was supposed to tell you, crap, I was supposed to tell you before you went out there. Somebody at the Dallas Card Show said their daughter went to your high school at the same time you were there, and I was supposed to find out if maybe you knew her.
Huh.
Drop ball on this. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you didn't write it down?
No.
You did drop the ball. Yeah, Dallas Card Show was a fun first experience. Met a few Tolos out there. Pretty cool stuff. And LA Knight himself actually taught me that workaround for nicknames because I said, you know, you call yourself the megastar, and he corrected me. And he said, I'm the man they call the megastar. And he was like, I don't know who they is, but they exist. So
I like that.
He was like, they call me that. If you choose to call me that, that is your choice. So I don't know who they necessarily is, but they call me the pride of Mansfield, Texas. So there you go. I totally did not make that name up for myself. I promise. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well to answer the question of the day. Then a pretty cool basketball game coming up at the AAC that I want to talk about. It's also on the week of my birthday, so it gives me an excuse to get excited for that too.
Ooh.
But I've had this one in the chamber for about 2 weeks now. And I said, if this occurs again, I'm going to make it the question of the day. It occurred again this morning in the parking garage when I pulled in. Somebody that works in another part of the building, they had scrubs on, so they totally don't work for us. I hope they don't do radio and scrubs. That seems odd.
I don't know. It could be fun.
I mean, yeah, maybe like a bet payoff situation. I don't know. I could see Wolchuk doing the sexy nurse thing. You know, I don't know.
Ooh, you pegged me as a sexy nurse, huh?
I didn't do that part, but I did... You know, I did lay it out there. Yeah.
Let's not. You think of me as a sexy nurse. Huh?
Yeah, I could totally see you doing that. You know, saying like, absolutely, an NFL pick'em thing, and you totally lose. I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah. But this happened with the same exact person a couple weeks ago. They did it again. He got out of his car. He locks the car as he's walking away. Stops in the middle of the garage, turns back around, and proceeds to lock his car 4 more times.
Oh, wow.
And then walks away. So I ask you, 877-881-1053, what is the one pet peeve that you have right now that is totally unimportant? It's totally harmless, but it annoys the absolute hell out of you. For me, it is people who spam lock their car as they're walking away because it is so unnecessary. You do the double tap and you walk away. That's all you have to do, especially with like newer cars that if you get within a certain radius away from the car, if you leave that radius, it'll lock it by itself. Like my car, it knows if I walk, I think it's probably like 10 feet or something, it just auto locks the car. You know, so I don't need to do that. I don't need to spam that anymore. I understand with older cars, that makes sense. But five total times is so unnecessary. And that just put me in the wrong mood walking into the building this morning.
I guess so.
Yeah, because he parked right in front of me, so the horn was just like right in my ears as I was crossing in front of the car.
Is there something else going on that might have caused irritation?
Okay, see, I think the something else going on with the car lock, that is a classic OCD situation, my friend.
Okay.
And so that is my theory.
I don't think so.
Everything else is okay?
I didn't get my 8 hours last night, so maybe that's part of it. But like I said, this has happened before, and it annoyed me weeks ago. So now I want to know, do you have that one super minuscule pet peeve right now that you're just like, that irritates me every single time, and I know it shouldn't?
I'd go with two, and I don't even, and I could probably think of more. One, it certainly is slamming doors. And my wife has probably made me more aware of this.
Okay.
But I feel like my family, we actually have a problem with this. Now, I have worked out of it because I was told about it. But like my sister was just in town over the weekend and she slams every single door, like car doors, front doors, bathroom doors, you name it, door slammer. Don't do that. We don't need that. The other thing is, and this is probably having worked as a manager at Chick-fil-A for like a decade, I hate when you go to an establishment, especially like a fast food one or a quick service, where it's like you've been here before, most likely.
Yeah.
And you know what you're going to get. And they act as if this is the first time they've ever experienced a drive-thru and how this works.
Oh.
You know, hey, welcome to Chick-fil-A. How can we serve you today? Well, we're fresh out of No today. All right. What the hell do you want? Is it the number 5-8 count? 12 count? What sauces? Number one? Do you want the deluxe? No? No pickles? Cool. Be ready to rock. All right. I don't like the people that are like, pausing. Ooh, now we got other people in the car. What do you want? Like, have this ready to go. Okay. This is a drive through. It's supposed to be fast. Let's get everybody's orders ready to rock. So we pull up to the speaker and we're now ready to deliver.
All right. I'm going to stick in the food vein then, because this is something that my wife mentioned happened to her the other day. If you're not necessarily a sit-down restaurant, you know, I got to be closing down 40 minutes early. So went to Freebirds like 35 or 40 minutes before it was closing. And she just wanted a steak burrito for me and a steak salad for her. And they're like, oh, we're going to have to get the steak back out. And she was like, yeah, go ahead and do that. You're not supposed to close for like 35 or 40 minutes. I get it. If it's a sit-down restaurant where you're like, hey, this whole process could take an hour plus, maybe be a little bit more careful. But if you're just going to get your food and you're leaving, that feels way too early to start the close-down process. I get it. It's 10:55 and you close at 11, you take your chances. But that is way, way too early.
That is annoying. I remember, I think it was during the winter storms that we kind of had. There was one part of it. I think it was like the third day of the first wave that we had this past year. I went to Chili's with one of my friends and it was like 8:30 and they're like, by the way, we're closing in like 15 minutes. I'm like, one, it's not the top of the hour. That's weird.
Yeah, you're not closing at 8:45.
Yeah. No. And two, we didn't even get hit by the weather. It wasn't freezing temperatures yet or anything. So I was like, I haven't even put in an order yet. Like, what the heck? It's not even that late. I was like, I understand if it's actively snowing and stuff, or if there was anything in the Grand Prairie area supposed to be hitting us. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in our forecast. So I was like, y'all usually close at like 11 or midnight or whatever. What are we doing here? That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, the people who are like, it's kind of dead, we can close early. It's like, no, don't do that, you losers. I'm trying to give you money.
Now, I would end up doing like the last hour where we start just like taking down some stuff.
So like
we're just getting a little bit ahead of, let's save some time for when we close. But it's not like, oh my gosh, if you order a milkshake at 9:50 and we close at 10, we're going to lie to you and say the ice cream machine is broken. Yeah. No, we're gonna make the milkshake. Now, would we like to? Not really. I'd like to get this thing cleaned and shut down.
And that I can accept.
It's the job.
Yeah.
See, from the 817, this one's great. Closing the car door by the glass. That is awful. Because in high school, I drove a Camaro, and at the top of the door, it's just the glass window. There's no frame over the top of the window. Mm. So when people would get out of my car, they would just bear paw the top of the glass. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're like, in high school, you're human petri dishes. Like, don't be touching my glass like that. That's just wrong. And it was so annoying. I would have to go right home, get the glass cleaner out, get the microfiber, and get to work every single time. And even my car now has like the black trim, the super glossy black trim by the windows. And anytime I have somebody in the car, I go walk over, I go see fingerprints all over the side. I'm like, you use the door handle. Come on.
That is super weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. Like, don't just grab the whole door and shut the door.
That's strange.
Use the door handle. A lot more people do that than you would realize. And you don't know until you have a car like that that doesn't have a frame at the top of the window, or when you have the super glossy paint.
So I've seen some people text in the like smacking or like chewing with your mouth open. What about slurping? Like noodles or soup?
See,
because that's actually, I think,
with soup, it's different because I feel like,
what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I do think in other countries, in 877-881-1053, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the slurping sound and doing like, I think that's the way you're supposed to eat it, like ramen or pho in other countries.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it's like how you're supposed to enjoy the food. So it is an annoying sound, don't get me wrong, but I think that that might be more of a pet peeve for us in America than it is around the world.
See, from the 405, whenever you park far away from an establishment in the middle of 12 empty spaces and someone parks right next to you.
Yes, and
that's the worst.
Obviously, you get it when the whole lot fills up, but when there's nobody there and you're like, I'm gonna park right here. You're like, bro, come on. You couldn't have parked over there, over there. It's the same as restroom etiquette. Like, if you're in a big restroom, there's all these empty urinals and somebody's like, I'm gonna post up right next to you. It's strange.
Let's see, from the 214, this one is really specific. I like this. They say pet peeve is people who leave time on the microwave after they're done using it.
All right, let's talk about this.
Oh boy.
Because the people on floor 11 of the Odyssey building are humongous violators of this. And I've gotten into this argument with Corey, with Colby, with Reggie. I think it was Colby who was like, yeah, well, I just gave you 6 extra seconds, but I don't want 6 seconds. That's why that add 30 seconds button is there. So maybe if you know you need to cook something for 30 seconds and then you can just tune out. Now, I'm not saying that 36 seconds will ruin what you're making, but let's not pretend like we don't all have some food we put in the microwave that it is not cooked to that exact percentage or that exact number. You think it's going to be off. It's lazy. Push the clear button. Don't leave your leftover microwave seconds on there.
That does annoy me as well.
I like how that hit close to home for someone here, because that doesn't happen to me a lot, but it happens enough to where I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. Keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. Your most unnecessary pet peeves right now to date.
From the 972, I violated this last week. Somebody texts you and you call them back, or they text you and you're typing a response and then they call you. I didn't end up calling Reggie for a text he sent me, but I felt like it was a longer conversation than just texting him back. Like, you know, that weird Bert picture that I sent you guys. I felt like we needed to have a conversation about it. Somebody said slow walkers. All right. I have a very specific thought about this.
Oh, no.
I don't care how slow you walk, as long as you're aware that you're walking slowly and trying to take up not a lot of space.
Oof.
It's the people who are walking on a sidewalk where they're like, little bit over here, little bit over here. I'll walk as slow as I want. Like, get your ass over to one side and let the faster people move by. You're taking up the entire sidewalk. It's not productive.
That's how I feel about people who are riding their bicycles in the street.
Well, I have no comment on that.
I know you don't, but I'll say it for you. There's a sidewalk for a damn reason. Get the hell out of the road.
That's an awful thing in my neighborhood. Lots of cyclists.
Please stop.
And I tease this. A basketball game at the AAC that doesn't involve the Mavs that you might want to figure out how to make your way to. Saw this from Grant Afseth on Twitter. The Dallas Wings will be facing Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever at the American Airlines Center Friday, June 27th at 6:30 p.m. I'm telling you right now, I'm
interested.
Be there. I will be there. That's the week of my birthday, so I always try to do a few fun things throughout the week. I will absolutely be there. That sounds awesome because it's really tough, one, the way the WNBA is taking off, but two, anytime you have premier talent like that, the CPC in Arlington just isn't big enough for the ticket demand.
Did you know for this season, Prism WNBA boxes are selling for almost twice as much as the NBA one?
Prism or Prison?
Prism.
Okay.
And also, that's twice in the last couple of minutes that Alec has mentioned his birthday. Do you think he wants us to like get some plans in motion?
What day is it, Alec?
It's June 24th. No, I'm not expecting anything. I'm just saying
June 24th? That's a ways away, bro.
That's like the one time of the year that I actually take time off. So,
okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'll remember yours easily. That's a month before mine. And I've got another buddy who celebrates his birthday on that same day. So I'm down. We can throw a party for you if you want, but remind us a little bit closer.
I ask for nothing, so I'm not going to remind you of anything.
It doesn't sound like it, but we'll do something.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
New tattoo?
Ooh. Oh, another piercing?
Stop.
Coming up next, that's Woolchuck's fault. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. NFL draft comps by position group based on prior year's drafts. Next on The Fan.
Dart, well protected. There's the shot you were talking about. Grabbed in the end zone. Dropped right down the chimney by Dart.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Now, I know he was just having some fun, but I want to go to cut number 13. Now that Ja'Marr Chase is here to stay in Cincinnati, he has at least one potentially reasonable request.
For me, I like Cincinnati because it gives me the opportunity to come here and focus. You know, I'm not distracted out here. It's not too many things to get me, you know, off pace out here, you know, and it's strictly what I'm focused on. That's really tunnel vision for me to play football. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the food's not the best. We could work on that, but.
So he's taking shots at the Skyline Chili?
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Look, I know Will Chambers loves it. I'm sure Tim Collins will defend it. I can't say I've ever gone to Cincinnati and had the real deal Skyline Chili. And I imagine like on a hot dog piled high with cheese, it's probably delightful.
Yeah.
But the Skyline Chili that Will Chambers brought into the studio one day, it's got like cinnamon in there. It's a little bit sweet.
Oh.
It just, maybe you would enjoy it, Kevin. But for me, it just wasn't. In Texas, it's not like what our brain. I say, hey, here's some chili. My brain is registering something different when you taste it.
Okay.
This just doesn't seem right to me.
Interesting. Now, let's go from that to Jared Verse. So, Jared Verse had said, when I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. Like, I actually get genuinely hot when he talked about Eagles fans and how they suck and all that good stuff. I think that's understandable to a lot of Cowboys fans. However, he got a letter from an Eagles fan back in November. Didn't read it at the time. It says the following, quote, I was watching the Eagles-Rams game and saw you held up a knocked over cameraman. You really helped him and made sure that he was okay. I've watched way too much football in my day and that is very atypical. So I thought, who is this guy? And watch you play the rest of the game. No news to you, but you're an amazing player, and I wish we had you in Philly. Later on, I saw you flatten 350-pound Jordan Mailata on the offensive line. Crazy. Went to Wiki, saw your background. Impressive. So Merry Christmas. Wishing you and the Rams well. Hope to see you in the playoffs. Good luck and good health. I'll be following you from now on. And so on Instagram, Jared Verse said, guess I should have opened this before the game. Hope that you're still a fan. That is a really nice letter, though.
It is. Put a lot of tender love and care into that one.
When's the last time you got like an actual letter in the mail?
I've gotten like thank you cards. Do those count?
Nope.
Okay, then never.
Unless they like actually talk.
I wouldn't say never, but no, I can't remember the last time I got a letter.
Do you want to give out your address right now so people could send you letters?
Absolutely not. Because I don't know what's going to come of that.
I was just checking.
Probably a lot of hate mail.
Oh, that would be sad. Speaking of hate mail, did you see Cordarrelle Patterson was upset about his birthday shout out from the Steelers? So
he should be happy he's getting shout outs and he's still in the league.
Is fair. He complained that he only got a post on the team's story and not on its full Instagram page. Now, if he's joking, I do think that's a funny bit. If he's not, that feels problematic, right?
I think we're going to lean that he's got to be. This is sarcasm. He's got to be joking.
I hope so.
Because honestly, I forgot he even played for the Steelers.
That's so deep. Let's go back to the Bengals. Now, I know they had given him an opportunity to go seek a trade, but the Bengals are supposedly trying to retain Trey Hendrickson now that they've given Ja'Marr Chase all the money, T. Higgins, some of the money. Mm-hmm. They're going to Hendrickson, I'm assuming, and saying, we would also like to give you somewhere between some and all of the money. Do you think they get that job done?
I do. I didn't think they were going to get T. Higgins done, and they did. So now I'm a little bit more confident that they are going to get the Trey Hendrickson deal done. Now, I don't think they're going to be able to pay anybody else after that. You got Burrow, you got Chase, you got Higgins, and you got Hendrickson. But they will be in a position where they're drafting to probably get a solid defensive player.
Yeah.
I know offensive line could be in play there as well, but for sure, they might just need to go defense.
Do you support this rule change proposed by the Eagles? They would like overtime rules in the regular season to be like they are in overtime in the playoffs, if not exactly the same, where it'd be a 15-minute regular season overtime as opposed to 10, both teams getting a guaranteed possession. What do you think about that moving into the regular season? It doesn't feel like we have a proliferation of ties or anything.
No, we don't. I do think the main thing here for the league is the fact that they just don't want to have crazy long games in the regular season. Like we don't want these teams, because they'll stress public, you know, player safety, which is hypocrisy at its finest when you have Thursday night football going on. But I like this. I do wonder if they just say, okay, but we're not going to play more than a quarter. So even if we change this up and the game's still tied and it's the end of the first quarter of overtime, now it's just going to be a tie.
Now, another rule suggested, this one by the Lions. What do you guys think about the prospect of seeding the playoffs with no regard to divisional champions?
If that's the case, then you need to just go, you don't have divisions. You just, everybody's in your conference.
Yeah.
You can still, if you need to for schedule-wise, we can just keep the division so you're playing. But that's also going to open up a can of worms, because then if you have a division that's much better than another, like are these teams now being, they got an easier schedule because you're getting to beat up against the NFC South. I don't know about this, man. But I do think when you are, every once in a while we get this where you have like an 8-9 team like the Bucs or the Seahawks that were 7-9 or whatever it was when Beast Mode had his run against New Orleans. You end up hosting a playoff game against the 5 seed that's 12-4.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, should we go about this?
And they said they were going to do it. By the way, the Packers did put forth their anti-tush-push rule change.
I'm fine with the tush-push being eliminated, because the team in our own division is really damn good at it.
That is very true. Now, this morning, I had a glimmer of hope. I was excited that the Aaron Rodgers saga was done. Heard that there was breaking Aaron Rodgers news. But then the breaking fake news was that the Vikings weren't interested in Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Who gives a crap? Obviously, they're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. Tell me when it's over and he decided to retire, because neither the Steelers or the Giants thought he was good enough.
It's annoying. And I heard Chop make the comparison like, well, Peyton Manning, it took him 13 days to decide. Tom Brady went ahead and took a while to decide. But this isn't comparable to those guys anymore.
Yeah.
We already had the Aaron Rodgers experiment where he went to a quote-unquote ready-made team. That resulted in 5 wins last year. The Jets had the defense. The Jets had the skill players. Okay, maybe they don't have the offensive line, fine. But we knew Manning or Brady, depending on where they go, can tilt the power in the NFL. Wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, I don't think any of us are really thinking that team just got that much better. Yeah. It's very much like Russell Wilson, and I don't think we care really where Russell Wilson goes.
I really don't. Now, the Patriots went ahead and signed Garrett Bradbury. That was obviously somebody that had come up just as a possible option if we were looking into it. He signs with the Patriots. The Vikings signed Jeff Okuda out of South Grand Prairie.
SCP.
That's another one that we talked about with Solomon Thomas. Obviously, amazing draft status. Has had a disappointing career. So, let's see how it goes with the Vikings. Speaking of the NFC North, but that's not right. This team is in the AFC North, so I feel stupid. Did you see that Jalen Milroe got together and had dinner with Mike Tomlin? What if the Pittsburgh Steelers were like, the hell with taking these older, washed-up quarterbacks. Let's take a new quarterback and see what he can do. Jalen Milroe to the Steelers. Do you like it? Yay or
nay? I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Damn it! Play the other cut.
Nope.
What other cut? Doesn't exist.
Son of a Gunderson.
Buying it, and maybe this just goes full on Cordell Stewart. I don't know why I said Cordero.
Because we said Patterson earlier.
Bro, that's right. Thank you for saving me there. Jalen Milroe, it's weird because there's times where I was so out on him, and then he really improved as a passer, and then he kind of regressed and went back to the guy that couldn't throw at all. But as a runner, he is a game-changing type of talent. So if you can find a way to harness the accuracy and consistency, which maybe you can't, I didn't believe you could really until Josh Allen, could be solid.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's puck around and find out. We'll talk about that Stars overtime win, plus NHL owner rankings. Where is Gagliardi next on The Fan?